We began a new series, and you can see the name of the new series. It's If. 1,521 times in the Bible this word appears. The amazing thing about the word to me is this. It's like it's God's way of saying, I want to partner with you. And if you will do this, God says, then I will do that. And let me tell you that is a lot better than the this. And God challenges us to do that. And so today we're going to talk about if faithful. And the idea of faithful is this. Here's what the word faithful means. Unswerving adherence to God. Unswerving adherence to God. It's the idea that we say to God, you know what, God? You can count on me. I am going to be constant, unshakable. I am going to be stable. I am going to serve you no matter what. I am all in today. I am going to be faithful. When I think about being faithful, I think of the missionaries that have gone on before us. And I think about the one-way missionaries that would pack their caskets with their belongings as it would be shipped to the field. Let's hear about these missionaries together today. Let's listen.
A century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half. And instead of suitcases, they packed all of their earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved and everything they knew. They knew they would never return home. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries. He set sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. When Milne packed his coffin, he knew there was a good chance he'd be buried in it before long. For 35 years, he lived among that tribe and loved them. When he died, the tribe buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. It said, "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness." When did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? That faithfulness is holding the fort? That playing it safe is safe? That there's any greater privilege than sacrifice, that radical is anything but normal. Jesus didn't die just to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. Faithfulness is not holding the fort. It's storming the gates of hell. The will of God is not an insurance plan. It's a daring plan. And the complete surrender of your life to the cause of Christ is not radical. It's normal. It's time to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. It's time to go all in and all out for the all in all.
God wants us to be all in. He wants us to be faithful. Let's pray. Lord, as we just look at your word today, I ask that you would just teach us what faithfulness is. We hear the word, but sometimes we really don't know what it means. And Lord, you'd make it very practical for us so that when we leave this place, God, we'd be committed to being all in for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word, Deuteronomy chapter 11. That's where we're going to be today. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to pick up here at verse number 13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you'll be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. You will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. You may be seated. God wants us to be faithful. But what does that look like? If we're going to be faithful, we have to be all in. And so I just want to walk through this passage with you this morning and talk about what all in looks like for every single one of us today. The first thing we see is this, that all in demands obedience. Obedience. You know, if I'm all in to something, I will do whatever it takes. If I'm all in, I will climb the mountain. If I'm all in, I will sacrifice. If I'm all in, I will roll up my sleeves and get busy doing whatever needs to be done because I am totally committed to it. I am all in. And that's what we're challenged to do by Moses. Moses is writing this and he says to the people, he says, here's what you need to do. You need to faithfully obey my commands. Sounds simple enough. What are the commands? What is he talking about? Well, he gives us two things that we need to do. Number one, love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul. Can I just comment on that? Do you understand what that means? Because God really started working on me this week about that. You know what that looks like? That means that God becomes the most important person in our life. That he's more important than anything or anyone else. That we love him with our whole heart. We love him with our whole soul. We love him with everything that's inside of us. Because when we love God, we will faithfully obey him. When we love God, he will be on our thoughts. He will be what we talk about. He'll be what we're all about when we love him. The second command is similar. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. To serve God with everything that you have. You know why you and I were created? To serve him. To bring him glory, to bring him honor. And we do that when we serve him, when we put him first, when we look at opportunities to share about him and to serve him with our whole heart. I love this passage because in this passage we are challenged to go beyond just the normal and go deeper than we've ever gone before. In fact, he says, if you will serve the Lord, and if you'll love the Lord with all your heart and soul, here's what I'll do, he says. He says, I will open up the heavens and I will send rain in its season. And he says, this rain will come on the earth and you will have grain, You'll have new wine. You'll have olive oil. He said, I will give you grass for the fields, for your cattle. But here's what stood out the most to me. He said, you will eat and be satisfied. You know why so many people are not satisfied today? They're not satisfied because, you know, a real easy thing for us to do is to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And then we wonder why we're not satisfied. We love God, but is he first, or is he just kind of on a list, maybe even in our top five? We serve God when it's convenient and when we don't have anything else to do. But is he first? And as long as we keep one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, we are never satisfied. But when you give God your whole heart and you're all in, and you love him with all your heart, and you serve him with all your heart and all your soul, all of a sudden, you become satisfied. Satisfied. I like what David Platt has to say. He says this. He says, this question was more challenging. Was I going to obey Jesus? My biggest fear, even now, is that I will hear Jesus' words and walk away, content to settle for less than radical obedience to him. In other words, my biggest fear is that I will do exactly what most people did when they encountered Jesus in the first century. See, God wants us to be all in. And that means that all in demands obedience. There's another thing about all in, though. All in requires our whole heart. We can't just give 75%. That's not enough. We can't just give a part of ourself. But he wants our whole heart today, 100%. There's an old saying I grew up with, and I really believe it's true. And it goes like this, that if Jesus is not the Lord of all, he is not the Lord at all. And that's true in our life. And that's why it's important that we make him first in our life. Here's what Moses has to say. He warns us to be careful or we'll be enticed to worship other gods. You say, what other gods would we be enticed to worship? Well, if God's not first in our life, you know, one of the gods that we are enticed to worship is money. We spend our life going after it and placing it first in our life. Some people are enticed to worship their career. And careers are a good thing, and money's a good thing, but when we place it first, it's not. Some people are enticed to worship popularity, and so they do whatever pleases other people rather than please God. It's easy to be enticed by other gods. Some people want power or prestige, and so they go after that. And so Moses is writing this, saying to the people, be very careful that you don't get enticed by the things of this world that are so easy to entice us. And we've all been there. We've all done that. And so we have to be careful because those things do tend to entice people and they tend to grab a hold of people in their life. And he says, if you do, here's what will happen. God's anger will burn and he will close up the heavens and there'll be no more rain. And eventually the land will dry up and the produce will go away. He says, don't do that. But instead, make up your mind that you're going to love him with your whole heart, that you're going to serve him with your whole heart, that you're going to place him first. In fact, he puts it this way, and I love how he puts it. He says, here's what you need to do. He said, first of all, fits these words on your heart and your mind. Tie them around your hands. Press them on your foreheads. Put them there. Bind them on your foreheads. He said, talk to your children about the Lord. Now, I want every parent and grandparent to look this way for a moment. Because Moses says, talk to them. He says, when you sit down, talk to them. When you go for a walk with them, talk to them about God, how God's the most important thing. When you get up, talk to them about God. When you lie down, talk to them about God. He says, wherever you go, whatever you do, let them know that God is more important than anything else. When I read that, it just kind of grabbed my heart, because I know how it is to get lost in all these things that we go through every day in life, that sometimes we forget the most important thing is to let our children and to let our grandchildren know there's no one more important than God. No one. There's nothing in this world more important than God. Nothing. And the best way we let them know is by the life we live, isn't it? That we are the example. You know, when I read statistics that tell me that the average faithful churchgoer, this is faithful now, how they're defining it, attends church 2 Sundays a month. Now that's 50% if it's a 4 Sunday month. That's 40% if it's a 5 Sunday month. That's how we define faithful. There's something wrong with that. And I just really feel like we got to get back to the place. We say, God, you know what? I love you with my whole heart. And I'm placing you first. And I'm letting my children know that. I'm letting my grandchildren know that. I'm letting my co-workers know that. I'm letting my extended family know that. I'm letting my neighbors know that. God's the most important person in my life. We got to get back to there. We got to get back to there in our life. We have to teach them. He says, furthermore, I want you to write it on the door frames. He said, I want you to place it on the gates that lead up to your house. What is he saying? He's saying, everywhere you go, when people come to your house, when people walk onto your property, may they know there's something special about that place, because that's a place that has committed themselves to placing God first. Now, I know this is pretty radical, because we have taken God and we've added him to everything else we do in life. And he's just one of the things we do. But I read this passage, and the conviction I have in my heart is not to put him as one of the things I do anymore, but to put him as the most important person in my life. He deserves that. Because it's kind of like our heart. If only half of our heart is working, that's a problem, isn't it? If only half of our heart is working and the other half is blocked, what can happen? Well, a heart attack can happen. A stroke can happen, right? Or even death. And we've got to love God and serve him with our whole heart. See, all in demands obedience. All in requires the whole heart. And here's the part I like the best. All in results in amazing blessings. The if part. God says, if you'll do this, here's what I will do. And I found myself so excited and overwhelmed as I just looked at these incredible blessings that God has for every one of us here if we would get all in. And these are great blessings. He says, if we carefully observe these commands that are given to us, then this is what the Lord will do. He says, he will drive out from our lands those nations. Those nations are those things that seem larger than us. He said, I'll take care of those for you. Things that overwhelm us now, if we get all in with God, God will take care of them. And you won't have to worry about them, because God will do that for you. He says, furthermore, every place you step, every place your feet step will be yours. What does that mean? It means you can, I love this part. This part excites me. That every place I step, that as a child of the King, I can say, you know what? This is mine. God has so many incredible things in store for you and me, and we live so far below it, that God's saying, man, every place you take your steps. And then he gives us an example that they understood in that day, and I want to explain it to you today. He said, from the desert all the way to Lebanon. Now, the desert's the lower part. Lebanon is the mountains. From the desert to the mountains, from the Euphrates to the Mediterranean, for the people of that day, that was their world. I mean, that's as big as they could dream. He says, as big as you can dream, I'll give to you. If you will get all in today and you will give me your whole heart, if you will love me with all your heart and all your soul, and you will serve me with all your heart and soul, it is unlimited the blessings I'll give you. That kind of excites me. God says, I will open up the heavens and I will pour out my blessings on you. God longs to pour out his blessings on every one of us if we will go all in today. And furthermore, he says this, no one will be able to stand against you. And he says, when people, and this I love, he says, when people know you're coming, there'll be something that gets a hold of them. He talks about terror in the land. It goes like this. You get up in the morning, and when you wake up, if you're all in for God, I want you to think about this. You wake up in the morning, the demons in hell will say, oh no, he's awake. Because you're all in. You're not just a little bit in. You're all in. And people, when they see you coming, they say, man, don't mess with her. I mean, there's something about her. She's got God all over her. Stay away from her. People will come and share things with you they wouldn't share with anybody else because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you walk into a room. Because God is all over you. You say, Pastor, can that happen? It can. But you got to be all in. And if you're all in, God will pour out so many blessings on you and you'll have opportunities you never dreamed of. You know, sometimes Marianne and I, we'll just sit around and we'll just talk about the blessings of God. And, you know, even in our life, we'll just kind of talk about God's taken us to places we never thought we would go. God's used us in ways we never thought God could use us. And it's just incredible to think about those blessings. And then I felt challenged in this message. See, as your pastor, there have been times I haven't been all in. Just being honest. And when I read this, all in, and I read it, and I thought, I'm going to love God with all my heart. I'm going to love God with all my soul. I'm going to serve God with all my heart. I'm going to serve God with all my soul. And if you and I'll do that, we will be all in. Can you imagine a person all in? Can you imagine a church all in? Can you imagine how that would spread to a community where they would be challenged to be all in? Can you imagine what that would do to our world? But it has to start somewhere, and it has to start with us. To be all in. And God says, if you'll do that today, man, if you will do that today, he said, I will open up the heavens and I will pour out my blessings upon you beyond anything you ever dreamed possible. If you are faithful to keeping God's command, which is to love him with all your heart, and all your soul. And if you are faithful in keeping his commands, which is to serve God with all your heart and all your soul, your mind will not even be able to conceive of what God will do and the blessings. Every place you step, God will bless. Every place you go, God will bless. That's what God wants to do today. That's what God wants to do. Could you stand to your feet right now in this place?